a young person, mainly because they don't have anybody else that will take them. So I had a while back, this is a while back in another agency, I had an 11-year-old boy. I had him for a number of different sessions. His primary diagnosis was what they called oppositional defiant disorder. Anybody ever heard of that, oppositional defiant disorder? That's kind of a phrase basically that's given to, or a diagnosis given to somebody who's rebellious. In the old days, that's what it was called. It was called rebellion. Now they call it oppositional defiant disorder. It's not a disorder, it's a behavior choice, but that's what they call it. They call it ODD. Well, one day this 11-year-old boy came into my office, sat down with his arms folded, and said, "My daddy spanked me." And I guess he told me that. Then he kind of looked at me to see what I was going to do. I did not immediately leap up and call in Child Protective Services or anything like that. So that was a little bit of a disappointment to him. So I said, "Well, tell me why your dad spanked you. What did you do? What happened?" He says, "Well," he said, "I called my mother." Then he told me what he called her, blankety blank. Like, it was terrible what he called her. It was amazing. That he actually said that to his mother. And I knew his mother. His mother, was, from what I could tell, was a pretty nice lady. And I said, "Now, why on earth would you call your mother something like that? What has she ever done to deserve being treated in that way?" And he said, "She told me that I had to go and clean my room." And so this is what this was all about. Well, obviously, I agreed with the father. And I said, "You know, if you were my kid, I'd have spanked you too. If you talked to my wife like that," I said, if you belonged to me, you would have got spanked for talking to your mother like that. If you think I'm going to call Child Protective Services because of what you just told me, you got another thing coming, because I'm not. I don't feel that's abusive. You know, he needed to obey his mother, didn't he? When his mother said, "Son, your room is a mess, go clean it," he needed to listen to her and he needed to be obedient. If he'd done that, he would have eliminated the chance for the Board of Education to meet his seat of learning. And apparently that's exactly what happened to him in that particular day. As you know, we've been going through a series on the family. Okay, we've had four messages related to husbands and wives. And now we're going to have a message today related to the duty of children to obey their parents. And next week we're going to have a message related to parents and how they need to take care of their children. So today we want to focus on the child's need to be obedient and respectful of their parents. You know, as parents, we have to teach them this. You know, we have to present to them the idea that when mommy and daddy tell you to do something, you need to do it. And if necessary, we will use corporal punishment to force you to comply, and sometimes that's what you need to do. We live in a society and a world that seethes with rebellion. Did you notice that? It seems like everybody wants everything their own way. We're doing whatever we want to do as long as it's right in our own eyes. That seems to be the motto of our culture. It used to be that children were much more respectful of adults and parents and grandparents than they are now. I mean, in other words, when this kid told me what he said to his mother, I'm thinking to myself, what would have happened to me if I'd said that to my mother? It would have been some serious, serious problems. I'm not saying that my parents were perfect, because they were not, but that was just something you didn't do. You didn't talk to adult figures like that. I mean, you just did not do that. It is not unusual for kids to verbally abuse parents and to assault them and to ignore their instructions and their commands. And I do believe, and I obviously have a little bit of a bias here, that kids are taught some of this in schools. They're taught that if they don't particularly want to obey their parents, or if they feel that their parents have been abusive in some way, that they can call Child Protective Services. Now, don't get me wrong. I have called Child Protective Services. I did it once as a pastor. Turned out we had some guy that was sexually abusing his daughter, and he ended up in jail as a result of my phone call, and he was there for a long time. And I've called in other kinds of situations where people have just not been taking care of their kids. Now, I think calling CPS is sometimes necessary, but a lot of times people are calling CPS for all sorts of stuff that really doesn't have any merit, where there is no abuse going on. So I think kids are taught on some occasions that if you don't like the way you're being treated, or if you feel like you're being abused, you can call CPS and they'll send a social worker or two to investigate and to interact with the parents to find out what's going on. I do think that kids are being taught on some occasions things in school that are contrary to traditional or biblical values. They are told that they have the right to move beyond the things that they are taught at home. You have the right to make up your own values. You have the right to make up your own ideas about how things should be. Don't necessarily just listen to your parents. They're told this. They're told to establish their own rules, live their own lives, and if they even feel on some level that they are being abused, well, we can always call protective services. There is simply not the cultural or societal support for parental authority as there used to be. It used to be that you could spank a kid in school. You know, I remember I had a kid up here. This is another one of my kids. This kid refused to talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. I don't have any problems. I don't want to be here. The only way I could get him to talk to me is I finally said, "Do you ever play chess?" "Yeah, I play chess." "Oh, whip you, dude." So we got the chessboard out and we started playing. And actually, that was the only way I could get him to interact with me. And eventually, he kind of loosened up a little bit. And we actually had a number of sessions. But his family decided to move to Tennessee. Now, as you know, down in the Bible Belt, in some areas, things are a little bit more conservative. And he was appalled. In fact, in our last counseling session, he was telling me about this, that he learned that his mother had signed a permission slip saying it was okay for him to be spanked by the teacher if he was out of line. I said, "You're moving down to a whole new area." I said, "They don't do that up here, but down there, it's a whole totally different ballgame." I said, "You're not going to walk into a teacher's class and refuse to do your homework and refuse to be respectful for the teacher, because they're going to take a switch to you." And you know, it used to be that you could do that. And if you saw somebody else's kid that was out of line, you could intervene and say, "Hey, Johnny, you don't do that." And then you tell the parents afterwards. Now if you do that, the parents freak out, and next thing you know, they're mad at you and you become the problem. We all know that there was not the respect for authority that there used to be. But for Christians, the rules have not changed, have they? Children are still told, and this book, the book of Ephesians, is being written for Christians. It's being written to a Christian audience. Christian kids are to respect their parents. God's word is still God's word. And what does God's word say to children in the 21st century? "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So this morning we're going to be looking, as we said already, at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. We're going to note three reasons why children are to obey their parents. It's very simple. First reason, because God has commanded such obedience. Children are to obey their parents because God said so. Do you ever say something to your parents, and remember they told you to do something, and you didn't know if you wanted to do it or not, or you didn't feel like doing it, and said, "Why do I have to do that?" And they said, "Because I said so, and I'm your parent." Now, that's the way it used to be when I was a kid. You didn't get explanations for things. You didn't have long discussions. If they told you to do something, you did it. And if you questioned why, they said, "Because I told you so." Well, there's a similar thing here. God is telling children to obey their parents, and they're to do it because he said so. As we look here at verse 1 in Ephesians chapter 6, we note that children are being given a command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey them just like you would the Lord himself. It is not a suggestion. It is not just a good idea. It is a command. Children obey their parents because God has told them to. As previously discussed, God is a God of authority. He has placed the husband over wife in terms of leadership in the home. He has placed parents in a position of authority over their children. Now, you may have a hard time with this, and some people do, but you really have authority over your kids as far as God is concerned. You really can tell your kids what to do. Children are simply not free to live in any way that they choose. They are not free to defy the rules, structure, and guidelines parents have put in place in the home. Christian parents are expected by God to train their children in the way that they should go, to provide them with appropriate instruction, not only in regards to spiritual things, but in all other areas of life. Kids have to be taught things. They just don't wake up one day or get born one day with all these ideas as to what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to live. They have to be instructed. You have to teach a child how to clean his room. You have to teach a child how to eat at the table so they're not just grabbing things and stuffing it in their mouth. You have to teach a kid how to drive a car. They have to be instructed. If nobody teaches them, they're not going to learn. And parents are the ones that are basically expected to do that. Parents are responsible before God to do the very best job they can in the care, nurture, and instruction of their children. And children are expected by God to submit to such parental authority. Now, ain't none of us perfect parents, okay? I can look back at my bringing up my children, and there were some things I wish I'd done a little bit differently. And maybe you could say the same thing as you look at your life. But the point is that you try. If you make a mistake, you learn from that mistake, and you do the very best you can, and do basically what God has called you to do in that particular case, and bring up your child. Colossians 3, verse 20, it says, "Be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Now, this is for children, and they're all gone today, so you can go home and tell them that I said so. But you're to obey your parents in all things. Exodus chapter 21, "He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Do you know, kids are assaulting their parents these days. Now, I know that there's times when parents physically abuse their kids, okay? Spanking's one thing. Beating the snot out of a kid with a stick is something else. And there may be times when a kid has to defend himself. And I've seen all kinds of bad situations being a counselor. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about kids that choose to assault their parents, and that is becoming more and more prevalent. Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, "He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." You know, this kid that I had in my office, this 11-year-old, the men of the city should have taken him out to the city square and stoned him to death. That's how it was supposed to be handled back in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not saying that we do that in a New Testament context. But the point is that God takes rebellion by kids very seriously. You don't have to talk like that to your parents. And, you know, let's face it, and we all have to be honest about this, we've seen situations where kids have been verbally and physically abusive toward their parents. There is much mistreatment of parents by children in today's society. We would also have to acknowledge there is much mistreatment of children by parents. You know, CPS needs to be called on some cases, and I've seen some pretty bad situations. A very high percentage of children grow up in homes where there has been divorce and remarriage without biblical justification, or where the parents are not even married to one another. The home life is chaotic. New adult figures are coming into their lives all the time. Let's say you got a woman who is no longer living with her boyfriend. Well, now she's got other boyfriends coming in. And the kids don't know who's coming in the door next or what's going to happen based on the next guy that walks in the door. Many, many homes are very chaotic. There's physical and there's verbal abuse. Sometimes there's even sexual abuse that takes place. And sometimes these situations can take place in so-called Christian settings. And I can tell you some stories that would probably curl your hair back. As Christians, we have been called by God to obey His word. Amen? We can agree on that. Children have been called to obey and to respect their parents. So if you're a small child here today and you can understand me, that's what you need to do. You need to do it because why? Because it's right. God said so. God has ordained that parents take care of children, and parents run the home, not the kids. The kids do not determine where the family is going to church. The kids do not determine what's going to be happening in the home. That's the parents' decision. It is the right thing to do. It is the established hierarchy of authority that God has ordained for His people. Such authority does not give parents a blank check. Parents will be held accountable by God for how they use their authority. But children, your responsibility is to obey your parents because God said so. If you choose to ignore God-given instructions, you will answer to Him. There may be some cases where parental authority is abused to such an extent that a child can't obey the parents because in doing so, he would be violating God's word. Now that's, I think those situations are fairly rare, but they do happen. That is the only exception clause that I can think of where obedience to one's parents can be disregarded. Children are to obey their parents like they would obey God. When you obey as a child, when you obey your parents, you're actually obeying God. Obey your parents in the Lord because he said so. Don't get caught up in the spirit of rebellion that seems to be gripping much of society right now. Do what God says because he said it. Second reason children are to obey their parents, because parents are God's agents for good in the life of a child. Because parents are God's agents for good. Looking at verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now looking at verse 3, it says, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. It doesn't mean the parents are going to kill their kids because they disobey. But it does. If you, as a child, obey your parents, they're actually setting the foundation, in most cases, for a better life, for a longer and happier life. As you look at verse 1, we saw the behavior of the children being focused on. Obey your parents. Verses 2 and 3 focuses on the attitude of the child. Parents are to be honored, which means they are to be treated with respect. I don't know that they have to come in and salute or anything like that. I've seen some homes where the kids are calling their dad sir and they're calling their mother ma'am. You can do that if you want to. I don't personally think that's what we're talking about here. But there should be an attitude of respect. It should be mom and dad. You don't call your mom and dads by their first name. Some people do that, but I don't think that's what we have in mind here. Paul is repeating what God has already stated in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Children are to honor their parents, which means to value highly, to hold in highest regard and respect. Honoring one's parents would lead to blessing and the better chance of a good life. Verse 3, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Parents are the primary educators and providers of the child. Generally speaking, if the parents are doing a decent job, the child will have a better chance of having a decent life. Now, there are times, okay, where parents are doing a great job. They're doing the very best they can. Let's say they have 5 kids. 4 of them come out really well, but there's one that chooses to be defiant, and the parent maybe get very upset, but the parent is doing the very best that they can. So there are some cases where the kid goes wrong, not because they were bad parents, but because they chose to ignore what their parents were saying. And so you'll see that in families. You got a family, they're a really good family, 4 of the kids are doing great, number 5's not doing so well. And you look, well, why is number 5 not doing well? Well, if you look at the pattern in the home, the family was fine, the parents were fine, the other kids came out well, but there is occasional one that will choose to be defiant and do their own thing. If they obey their parents while they're growing up, they learn a pattern of obedience that helps them later on in life. In other words, kids have to learn to do what they're told, right? And it all starts at home, because when you go to the school, and you start saying things like this kid said to his mother to the teacher, that kid's going to get in a lot of trouble. If you go working on a job site as an employee and you say something like that to your boss, you aren't going to be employed anymore. You aren't going to be working. You have to learn, and we all have to learn this, to be obedient to authority figures. If you get in the military, they don't ask you if you feel like doing 20 push-ups. They tell you to do it. And by golly, you better do it or there'll be severe consequences attached to your person. So if a child can learn to be obedient at home, it helps them later on in life because they're going to be told what to do the rest of their lives. That's one of the realities of life, isn't it? That we all have to learn to be obedient. People are going to tell us what to do. We may not like it all the time, but that's the way it is. We're all going to have teachers. We all have bosses. We all have coaches. We all have drill sergeants if you're in the military or whatever it is you got. etc., we're going to have people in authority over us. If we get pulled over by the police when we're driving, it always works out better if we respond to them politely and respectfully. If you start swearing at a police officer and giving them trouble, they're going to drag you out of the car. Next thing you know, you're going to be spread eagle in the car, and you're going to be handcuffed, and you're going to be led away. Police don't put up with that, and there's no reason why they should. If we learn to be obedient to our teachers and our employees and our parents, we will do better at school, we'll do better on the job, we'll have an easier life. If we follow God's word in our lives, life generally goes better, and we will most likely live longer. I was the hospice chaplain for a while up in Sheboygan for about 7 years. I was called one day to provide some kind of spiritual services to a young man. The young man was actively dying of AIDS, and let me tell you, that's a horrible way to go. He was dying of AIDS. This particular individual was very hostile to all things spiritual. He didn't want to see me, but his mother was the one that kind of got me in the door because she was hoping something good spiritually could happen to him. He wanted nothing to do with me. His mother was the one that had me sent for, and she was a Christian woman, and she was hoping that somebody could do something for her son who had lived for years as a homosexual, had been very anti-God, very anti-church, pretty much anti-everything. Since they had a Wesleyan background, since the kid didn't want to talk to me, I did what I could to hook him up with a Wesleyan pastor. I don't think the pastor had any better success than I did. I do remember the mom telling me, with tears running down her face, that she'd repeatedly talked to her son, tried to warn her son about the dangers of the lifestyle that he had chosen, but he would not listen. And there came a day when he passed away. And as far as I know, unless something miraculous happened that I didn't know about, he died not knowing Christ. And that's not a good place for anybody to be in. If he had listened to the advice, if he had listened to the counsel of his mother, he might still be alive, because he was a young man. One person was quoted as saying that when he was 14, he thought of his father as being rather stupid. But when he became 21, he said he was surprised to learn how much the old man had gained or learned over the years. It's when you get older is when you start thinking about your parents. So maybe you didn't grow up in the greatest home in the world, but there probably were some things that your parents did and taught you that were good. And as you look back at it, when you get older, you can see some of that and say, okay, now I understand why they're telling me. They told me that, because you find yourself saying pretty much the same thing to your own kids. But as you get older is when you start realizing that the parents were right in many cases. John MacArthur says this: the command to honor your father and mother is twofold. That it may be well with you relates to the quality of life, and that you may live long on the earth relates to the quantity of life promised. The original promise was to Israel and involved many tangible, physical, earthly blessings. But Paul's reference to it here shows that it also extends to believers today. Though its blessings may not always be tangible, a family where children and parents live in mutual love and submission will have rich, God-given harmony and satisfaction that other families can never know. But as for the promise of living long on the earth, the believer who honors his parents can know that his lifetime will be the full measure God intends, rather than cut short like those of Ananias and Sapphira and certain members of the church at Corinth. In other words, if a child learns to obey his parents, most likely he's going to have a better life, he or she, and most likely they will live longer. Because as you can think of with this particular young man, he was involved in a lifestyle that cut his lifespan considerably shorter. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. The idea there is that you will have a better life, and you will gain in many different ways if you honor what your parents teach you. Now, I know there's some bad parents out there. I've seen parents that would, you know, would just shock you with some of the things that they do. But for the most part, I think it's particularly in our circles, the parents that we had did try to steer us in the right direction. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. As we all know, parents aren't perfect, are we? Maybe you would look at yourself and say, you know, I kind of wish I did things a little bit differently. Those things I said, things I did, that if I could have a do-over, I would do it differently. We don't get do-overs, however, we can be forgiven. And we do the best we can, I think, for the most part, and we try to learn from our mistakes. However, Christian parents who are trying to follow the Bible and who genuinely love their kids are a real blessing to their kids and can be God's agents for good in their lives. It's amazing as a kid, you know, you resist. My parents aren't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it my way. I got this all figured out. All of a sudden, you have all these problems. And then one day, the light comes on and said, you know, if I just did what they said, I'd have been all right. And then hopefully we learn from that, and maybe we teach our kids how to do better as we get older. Third reason children are to obey their parents is because not to obey brings judgment. If being obedient to one's parents brings blessing, certainly it stands to reason that disobedience brings judgment. I've already told you about the young man who ignored his mother's pleading with him to leave the homosexual lifestyle. Many more such stories could be told about children choosing to reject every good thing their parents had ever taught them and going off in their own direction. You know, there's a drug epidemic in this country. You know the drug of choice in St. Clair is? It's heroin. What I'm told is that kids don't even bother with marijuana anymore. They go straight to heroin. And so I'm sure most parents are saying, now don't use drugs, Johnny. Now don't use drugs, Susie. And if kids listen to that, they save themselves a whole lot of pain. You know, but if they don't listen to that, then consequently they can get into all kinds of difficulties because being a heroin addict is a hard way to go. The other thing that's, I'm going to throw out my own pet peeve here. The other thing that people need to tell their kids is not to smoke pot. People think, oh, pot smoking, it's no big deal, man. It's just an herb. Don't worry about it. It grows in the ground. Well, you can do all kinds of bad things to your brain if you smoke pot long enough. So just something to keep in mind. Kids can endure much pain in their lives and bring about not only the judgment of parents, not only the judgment of other authorities, but the judgment of God if they choose not to listen to what their parents are telling them. There's a guy named Ham back in Genesis chapter 9 that made a decision to mock his father. And as a result, his descendants, the Canaanites, would be subservient to the descendants of Shem, the Semites. Absalom, everybody remember Absalom, the son of David? He rebelled against his father and tried to take David's kingdom and ended up what? Hanging from a tree by his hair, pierced with javelins. I want you to turn with me, if you would, for just a second to Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And this is actually kind of a scary verse. Verses 18 to 21, especially if you're a kid. 18 to 21. Now, they don't do this in this day and age. If they did, they would probably have a significantly reduced population. It says, but if any man has a stubborn, verse 18, and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death, so that you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it in fear. Can you imagine if that's what happened to kids in this day and age? There would be very little, if any, juvenile delinquency. One of the reasons why there's so much juvenile delinquency is because kids are given entirely too much rope, entirely too much freedom. I'm not saying we should take them out to the city square and stone them to death, but it is acceptable to set some limits on people. Turn with me now to 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 9. But realize this, verse 1, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. Let me stop there for just a second. There's some really bad stuff being talked about in this passage. And in the middle of it all, you see the words disobedient to parents. What's the point? The point is that disobedience to parents is severely frowned upon by God, and is probably considered equivalent to some of these other things we see in the passage. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness though they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these, for among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres, and they're not really sure who those two are except they might be the magicians back in the Old Testament that Moses had that conflict during the time when Israel was trying to come out into the promised land. So that's most likely who they probably were. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regards to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly also was. So as you look at that, what do you got? You've got the idea that rebellion against parents seems to fit in with a bunch of other sins that are pretty bad. Rebellion against parents always ends badly. The only time it ends well is when a case like the prodigal son, when the prodigal son repents. Repentance can happen, and often does, but sometimes the kid has to go through a lot to get there. There may be situations where a child is subject to genuine abuse. Okay, and I'm talking serious abuse. These situations should be resisted and appropriate authorities should be alerted. If a parent tries to force a child to engage in immoral and illegal behavior, and there was a kid recently, this is at the counseling agency, that got removed from somebody's home by CPS because the kid was learning to be involved in the drug trade, and the kid had been taught how to grow marijuana plants. And so CPS felt it was appropriate to remove him. I agree with him, but that's going to enact an example of an illegal or immoral activity. And I could tell you some that are even worse, but I won't. I think in those cases, it's legitimate for the child to rebel against such behavior and get a hold of authorities such as the police, CPS, or even call me. I've turned people in and had them picked up by the police for help. However, I believe that most situations are not that serious or not that extreme, and there is no legitimate reason to resist parental authority in most cases. In other words, the kid's not resisting authority because he's being abused and he's trying to protect himself. The kid's resisting authority because he doesn't feel like cleaning up his room. Or he doesn't feel like talking to his parents respectfully. Or he doesn't feel like turning in his homework assignments. It's amazing to me, these kids that don't turn in their homework assignments. I said, all you're going to do, I've had multiple conversations with multiple kids, is just hand it in. Oh, I don't really want to do that. So, you know, don't get me started on all the people I've talked to over stuff like that. But usually there's no legitimate reason for a kid not to do what they're supposed to do. They just don't want to do it. And that kind of rebellion has to be resisted and has to be addressed. Children, for the most part, I think in our particular circles, have decent parents, and they are called to obey those parents. So this morning, even though we don't have as many kids as I should probably have them all come in and just do a special sermon just for them. But even though we have not all the children here, we have the parents, some of them in some cases, and you can go home and tell your kids that you should listen to Pastor Gary on the internet because he talked about you today. Oh, what did he say, Mommy and Daddy? Oh, man, turn that off. But you know, you're the parent. It's okay to take control. Do it in a loving way. Do it in a firm way. Be fair. But kids have to know that they are expected to obey their parents because the Lord said so, because God commands it, because parents are God's agents for good for the child. In other words, the average parent does more good for their child than bad. And finally, number three, that refusal to obey one's parents will bring about judgment, not only temporal judgment here on earth, but also later judgment, perhaps through God. Shall we pray? Lord, we do thank you for the parents that are represented here today. We pray that you would help them as they raise their children to be loving, to be fair, to be firm, to be disciplined when they need to be, that the children that are represented here will be children that would obey their parents because they recognize that this is something that you would require of them. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are in charge, and we ask that you would bless each and every family in this room. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.